The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Batra. This Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, page-wise, has been dedicated by our good friend and pioneer student in the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, Adam Azrak Hashem Yishmeru V'chayehu, for the Hatzlacha of his dear children, that they should grow up to give him much nahat, they should have chokhmah, binah, vada'at, and be'ezrat Hashem, they should be zuche in the right time to the proper zivugim, b'parnasa, osher v'chavod, me'ata v'ad olam, to him and his wife and his entire family. Amen.
Amen.
Daf Chaf. Today's daf is being studied in Mishmat Adnan ben Esther. Ruach Hashem t'nichenu b'gan Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Yutet Amud Bet. And we are starting 3 lines from the bottom. The Gemara begins, Gedogrot ha hazule. We learned that if a person sticks gedogrot, dried figs, in a hole of a room that has a mit in it, and it clogs up the hole, it holds the size of a tefach, so it closes it up, so the tum'ah does not go through the other room, and if everything in the other room, the adjacent room remains tahor. So the problem is, we learned that anything that you don't leave in the hole that you intend to take, so it doesn't make a hatzitza. And normally figs, you eat them. So the Yabara says, gerogrot achazule, they're worthy to eat. So therefore, you're not mevatel them there. And therefore, if you're not mevatel them, it should not be chotzetz b'fnei atuma. Amar Shmuel b'shitrifu. Shmuel learned the Torah Marove where they became wormy. Hitli'u, Rashi says. They have tola'im, so therefore they're not edible. V'chein tani rabba bar abu b'shitrifu. They learned the same case. Torah Marove, the figs became spoiled, therefore they're not edible, therefore it's mevatel. Now the Gemara said, Hai chabit echi damya. One of the cases we learned was that if you have a barrel, and the barrel is placed in the barrel of figs, let's say, the barrel is placed in the hole, so sometimes the barrel is going to be chotzetz b'fnei tum'ah. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the case? So the Gemara begins, Hai chabit, echi damya. This barrel that you told me that's filled with figs. So we said, if the figs cannot stand by themselves, that means it needs the barrel. Now the barrel is a keli. Keli is mekabel tum'ah. We have a rule. Anything that's mekabel tum'ah is not chotzetz b'fnei tum'ah. So the question is, what's the position of this barrel? So the Gemara says, "Idepuma lebar." If the face of the barrel is facing the outside, which means you have two rooms: one room with the mit, one room without the mit. If the face of the barrel, the opening of the barrel, is facing the room that does not have the mit, that's lebar. That means on the room side that has the mit, you have the back of the barrel. You have the back of the barrel, just to see a picture, even though it's obvious, that would be the picture over here. Where the picture number 292, where you have the back of the barrel facing the room that does not have the mit. So the Gemara says, "Ilepuma lebad, higufa tichutz." It should be a hatitza. Then it should work. Why? A kiliheres is not metameh megabo. We have a rule. A kiliheres is not metameh from the outside. A kiliheres is only metameh me'aviro, from its from the airspace, from the inside. So therefore, the Gemara is asking that if you're telling me that the barrel is positioned where the back of the barrel is lebar, is facing the room that does not have the mit, why should it become tameh, because even if, let's say, tum'ah touched the back of a barrel of cheres, it cannot become tameh. So to over here, since actually you have to say the case is talking about, if I'm not mistaken, right, the back is towards the mit. So how are we going to learn the bar? Let's read again. Either tumah le bar. All right, very good. That's like we said. Puma lebar. That means the back of the habit is facing the room that has the mat in it.
You can't get the figs.
But no, doesn't. I don't need the figs. The keli is not mekabel tumah in that case because the back of the keli cheres is not mekabel tumah. So if the back, let's think of terminologies. The peh is the opening, and then you have the back. So if the back of the board, if the back of the keli is facing the room that has the mit in it, should be chotzetz, because tumah cannot go through that way. A keli cheres cannot be metameh from the back side of it. It can only be metameh from the front of it. So the Gemara says, ela de puma legav. Ela, you have to say that the case is talking about where the opening of the barrel is on the inside, right, where the tumah is. And therefore, since the kiryat is metameh from its opening, therefore the tumah goes through, and therefore it's not chotzetz. That's why when you have a barrel, it's a problem. It's not going to be chotzetz. Iba etremah le'olam depumah lebar. I can tell you really that the back of the barrel is facing where the tumah is. Oh, so then why is it not chotzetz? We're talking about over here a metal barrel, and metal is metameh from either side. It's not like cheres. Cheres is only metameh from the airspace. So if it's a metal barrel, so therefore even if the back of the barrel is facing the mit, the tum'ah is going to go through, and therefore it is not a hatitza metive. We have a question now on what we learned above. We learned again a rule from Shmuel. You put a loaf of bread in the wall, in the hole, it's not a chatzitza. Why? Because you don't leave it there. Anything that you intend to take out is not considered a chatzitza. Metive asabim shetalchan. You took grass and you uprooted the grass. V'nihan b'chalon. And you placed it in the window in order to block the tum'ah. Okay, let's say you filled it up with grass. Okay, that's case number one. Or sha'alu me'elehin. Or let's say the grass grew by itself. Bahalonot. I have a picture. You need it, but in 301, you see the grass was growing on the wall, and it filled up the window. Furthermore, umatloniyot she'en b'hem shalosh al shalosh. Matloniyot are like pieces of cloth that are less than 3x3. Okay? Which means it's less than the shi'ur that's mekabel tumah. A piece of cloth is mekabel tumah if it's 3x3, it's ba'ot. 3 fingers by 3 fingers. Like a patch. Anything less than that is not mekabel tumah. So you stuffed it up, get to remember the rule. Only items that are not mekabel tum'ah are chotzetz b'fnei tum'ah. So you have a matloniyot, you have these patches that are less than 3x3 isba'ot. Ve'ha'avar. Well, actually, ve'ha'ivir, I would read that. Ivir is a limb. What type of limb over here? We'll see, the limb of an animal. The basar amduldalin babehema ubahaya. Let's say a limb of an animal or flesh of the animal that's dangling, that's hanging. You see the case over here, you have the animal, it's standing next to the hole over here. It has like a piece of meat or a limb dislocated, hanging out, and that limb is blocking the hole over there of the window. Okay, the animal, not the animal itself, a limb of the animal that's dangling, medul dalim, inside. Look at Ashi. Hamidul dalim. Let's read the top rashis first. She'en bas shalosh al shalosh em mekablim tumah. Good, that's 3x3 etzba'ot. Hamidul dalim. She'tilushin um'orin b'miksat. Which means it still has flesh on it. Still has the skin on it. This limb that's dislocated. Ve'be'ema omedet etz l'chalon. The animal standing next to the window. Ve'evin munach al'chalon. right? And the limb is hanging on the window. It's closing up the window. Okay. Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'of sheshachan b'halon, or a bird that just is resting on the opening of the window, and the bird is blocking the window. Ve'oved kochavim, or a goy, sheyashav b'halon, that's sitting in the blocking the window. Uben shimona, a baby that was born in the eighth month. A baby that's born in the eighth month, the Gemara holds, cannot live. And therefore has a din of like a rock. Hamunach b'chalon. V'hamelach, melach would be salt. V'kli chayres, earthenware vessel. V'sefer Torah, or a sefer Torah. Kulam mema'atim b'chalon. All these items we just mentioned have one thing in common. They all can minimize the shiur of the halon, so the tum'ah does not go through. Let's read Rashi now. Oved kochavim. Eno mekabel tum'ah. Okay, a goy is not mekabel tum'ah. V'chen ben shmona. Shereu ke'evin. An 8-month-old baby is like a rock. It's not considered like a human being. Lo chay ve'lo mit. Right? It's not considered alive or dead. It's even. It has no status. Hamelach lo mekabel tum'ah. Salt is not considered a food on its own. Therefore, it's not mekabel tum'ah. Kli chayres she'achorav letzad oil tum'ah. We learned just now. Kli chayres, where the back of it is to the side of the tum'ah. So therefore, it's chosetz b'fnei tum'ah. Okay, continue. Aval, however, hasheleg v'abarad v'aglid v'akefor v'hamayim kulam en mema'atim b'chalon. What's shelig? Snow. What's the problem with the snow? Snow melts. Barad is like hail. Gleed. How do you explain gleed?
Frost.
Frost, okay. Kefor, like ice. Ve'amayim, kulam en ma'atim, nashi, ho'il ve'nimokim me'elehem. Since they melt by themselves, en ma'atim. Ve'cher, ma'im shebekli, that's the rule. Water cannot stand on its own. Water needs a keli. Once you take the keli away, the water falls. And therefore, the keli is really mekabel tum'ah. So therefore, these items, the second part of the items of the braita, are all items that are not mema'it b'halon. Now the Gemara begins the questions. Okay, remember Shmuel's rule, because the Gemara is going to pound away at Shmuel now. So where's rule? Any item that you normally take away is not mema'id b'chalon. A rakik, a loaf of bread, is not mema'id b'chalon. Why? You'll take it to eat it. So therefore, the rule is, if you're not destined to keep it there, so therefore you're not mevatel it, therefore tzarach otzez lefnei tum'ah. What was the first case of the braita? Grass. You took grass, you stuck it in the window. What's the deen? The deen is, the Mishnah, the braita says, it's mema'id. Oh, the Gemara is... What are you talking about? You feed your animal with it. You're not going to leave it there. You take it to feed your animal. So why is it mema'et? Gemara says be'afrazta. As she says, poisonous grass. Okay, afrazta is poisonous grass. So you're not going to give it to your animals. Oh, next case. Oshalu me'elehen. You said grass that grew by itself. Let's say grass was growing on the wall, right? And it filled up the hole. Gemara says, "Kevan de kashul lakotel." Didn't we learn already that grass or trees or I say plants are bad for the wall? Remember we learned in the Mishnah when you have a zira'im you have to move them 3 to 5 away from the wall because what happens? It causes the ground to become soft and it ruins the wall. So you're not going to leave grass that's growing next to the wall. So therefore, Shakilu, Gemara says, you're going to take it. So since you're going to take it, you're not mevatel it. Amarava bekotel churba. It's an old wall anyway. It's a dilapidated wall. So therefore, you're not going to take it away. Papa amar afilu bekotel yishuv. I can even tell you if it's a sturdy wall. Sturdy wall. Bebain chutz b'shlosha lachalon. It's coming 3 to 5 away from the halon, which means... The grass is growing how? You have a grass that's growing 3 to 5 away from the wall. and then it grows up and goes into the wool. So the actual roots itself are three tefachim away. You see the picture they have? Yeah, look at 304. You see you have the little tree over here. It's more than three tefachim away from the wall, and the grass grows up and goes into the wall itself. But the roots are three tefachim away. So therefore it's not a problem of the wall, and therefore you leave it there, because it's not going to damage the wall, such a thing. Okay. Matloniot. Okay, now you told me if you have these little cloths that are less than three etzba'ot by three etzba'ot, so you stick it in the hole of the window, it'll be mima'et. Hazule likri'a dilbusha. What do you mean? It's worthy for something, for a patch. The person, let's say, ripped his garment, kri'a dilbusha, he'll take this little patch and use it as a patch to cover it up, so that he's not going to leave it there. Yamara says, bismichata. Now we're talking about where it's thick. Very thick patch like that, you're not going to use as a patch to cover up the rip in the clothes. So you're going to leave it there. Ah, hazule umana. What do you mean? For the guy that, let's say, bloodlets, right? He let his blood, say, like a gauze. He would take it and just to put it on the spot that they cut the blood. They took the blood from the person. So therefore you're not going to leave it there. You'll use it for something else, for the umana, for the bloodletting. Gemara says birriska. Oh, it's talking about it's really it's coarse, and if it's gonna scratch, so you're not gonna, it's gonna irritate. You're not gonna put it on your wound because it's gonna irritate. You're gonna leave it there. Ibiriska. If it's talking about riska, she'en b'em shalosh al shalosh. It's, and you're telling me what? The shi'ud is 3x3, it's ba'ot. That's the shi'ud of tum'ah. She'en ben arba'al arba'ah mev'ele. The rule is, it's got to be 4x4 tefahim. Because what's the material that scratches? Sackcloth scratches. Like a potato sack, right? It scratches. That's from the goat's hair. It scratches. Now the shi'ud of wool is 3x3, it's ba'ot. The shi'ud of sack is 4x4 tefahim. So therefore, if you tell me it's a scratchy item, we're assuming it's sackcloth. Sackcloth, why'd you tell me less than 3x3? The shoot should be less than 4x4 tefahim. That's the rule by sack. It's gizat ha-katuf. Gemara says, ke'en riska. We didn't mean that it's actually sackcloth. We meant it's wool, but it's like sack. It has the consistency of it, meaning it scratches like it. So therefore, you're not going to take it for anything. You're going to leave it in the window. So you got the animal standing by the window. It's got a limb that's dislocated, like, and the limb is just hanging in the window. So we said it blocks the tumah. Arka ve'azla. What are you talking? The animal's going to run away. So therefore, you're not mevatel it. It doesn't stay there. Anything that doesn't stay there is not mevatel. They're talking about the animal's going to run away. Bekishura. You tie the animal. The animal can't go anywhere. I mean, shahitla. So you slaughter it. He'll eat it. He'll slaughter the animal standing over there. Therefore, it's not mevatel there. Therefore, it should not be chotzetz. Betemeah. It's an animal that's not kosher. It's temeah. It's a camel. Ah, mazbina lenuchri. You sell it to a goy then. So you're not going to leave it there. The goy, you'll sell the animal to the goy. Bechechusha. It's a weak animal. It's very thin. You're not going to get any customers. Nobody's going to buy it. Okay? So Gemara says, "Pasik shadila lekelabim." What are you going to do? You'll cut the eved and give it to the dogs, which means you're not going to give it to the goy. Let's say, because the goy is not going to buy it. But you're not mevateling it over there. I'll cut the eved. It's meat. Throw it to the dogs. Kevan diikatzar bale chayim lo avid. That's right. Guy's not going to put the animal in pain like that, to cut a limb off to give it to his dog. It's not about the chayim. That feels bad for the animal. So therefore, he's not going to do it. Therefore, he's mevatel it. Therefore, the deen is, it is going to be chotzetz b'fnei hatum'ah. Unless we say like this, that by a regular animal, an animal can be mekabel tum'ah, because it's a high. But a limb already that's dislocated has a deen of ochel. And ochel is not mekabel tum'ah unless it became hukshar le tum'ah with water or one of the seven liquids. That's why, look at that, she was medagdek. Go back to the she on top of the page, amidul dalin. Right? Look at the third line. Vitnan ba'or va'rotev, we learned in Hulin, mitame'in tum'at ochlin bimkoman. That a normal limb has a din of tum'at ochlin, v'tzirichin hekshir, ve'elu lo hekshiru. These limbs, you have to say, wa'nar ukshar, therefore they do not exude tum'ah. Yeah, could be that the Baal Hai itself is mikabel tum'ah. Yedin Baal Hayim.
Oh,
now we're going out to the off.
Bird is different. Bird can't be.
So let's see, one step at a time. The off, sheshechan b'halon. You said the bird, right? That's standing by the halon. Okay? So Gemara says, what do you mean? It's not going to stay there. Gemara says, parach v'azir, it's going to fly away. Bekashud, it's tied. Shahitle, you'll slaughter it in the spot. Betameh, it's a non-kosher bird. Mazbin le nukhri, you'll sell it to the goy. Gemara says beklanita, klanita of kahush meod. It's a very very thin bird. You're not going to sell it to anybody. Yahiv le yinuka, you'll give it to the kid to play with, a doll. Bimisaret, it's talking about where it's scratches. Gemara says klanita lo misarta, a thin bird doesn't scratch. Gemara says, "Ke'en klanita." It's like a klanita. It's not exactly a thin bird that we know. It's like has the properties of a thin bird, but it's a thin bird that scratches. So therefore, you're not going to give it for anything, and you're going to leave it for the you're going to leave it there by the window. Now, what about the bird itself? Why isn't the bird mekabel tum'ah? Of Chai is not mekabel tum'ah. So let's go slow. Let's read it. Ba'ale Chayim ena mekabelim tum'ah kol zeman shem b'chayim. So that's Ba'ale Chayim. All animals. Okay? So if that's the case, so if I'm not worried about mekabel tum'ah, so therefore it could be a chotzetz. Alright, what about go back to the question we just had. So then why about a regular animal case?
You'd have to say a limb.
Because that's a mitziut. How's the animal going to block the hole? An animal stands next to the thing, you need a limb to go into the... to stuff it. So it's mitziut. If you have the animal also stood there, a hamor, in the opening of the hole, then it can have it also block it. But you need a situation. You mitziut, standing there, and something's protruding out. The hadush is even that protrusion is mekabel tumah now. That's a problem. A protrusion is mekabel tumah. It's dinav ochel. It was not hukshar. Okay? The bird itself, there's no problem with the chicken. Chicken is not mekabel tumah. Good. Comes Gemara and says, Oved kochavim shiyashav b'halon. Okay, the goy, they stuck him in the window. Well, he sat in the window. He's blocking the window. So we said, what's chotzitz? Ka'ev azil. He'll get up and walk away. You know, he's not mevatel it over there. He walks away. Bekafut. Okay, he's tied up. Ate chavre sharile. Wait a minute. So somebody will come and untie him. Right? He'll untie him. He feels bad for his friend. He'll untie him. Bemitzora. He has leprosy. No one wants to go near the guy. So Gemara says, Ate mitzora chavre sharile. So another, his friend, a leper, is going to come and undo him. Ela b'habushe malchut. We're talking about somebody that was tied up by the king. No one's touching this guy because they're scared of the king. The king tied him up over there by the window, and nobody wants to untie him because they don't want repercussions from the king, from the government. Okay. Uben shemona munach b'halon. Oh, we said a baby that came out in the eighth month. It's like a rock. It's not going to live. Has no din of a chai. So therefore, it blocks the window. Gemara says, what do you mean? Atya imeh daryale. The mother's going to come and take it. The mother feels bad. So therefore, you're not going to leave it there. Gemara says, Be Shabbat. Talking about on Shabbat. It's Mukseh. The Tanya ben Shemona, Hareu ke'eben, v'asu letaltelo be Shabbat. So the deen is, how does the mother feed such a baby? Aval imo shoha alav u'minikato b'pnei ha'sakana. The mother, she has to nurse the baby, because she wants to get the milk out. So how does she nurse the baby? Can't pick up the baby. So she leans over the baby, and for her sakana, she's able to unload the milk from her by leaning over and nursing. Oh, the Gemara says, Mela, salt, we said salt blocks the tum'ah.
What do you mean? You can eat the salt. You can use the salt as a condiment, as an herb. Bimrirata. Oh, it's talking about salt that is bitter, non-edible. Haja le'orot. You can use it for skins. I guess in the tanning process of the skins, of the leather, they use salt. So you can use it for that. The idba kotze. It has thorns. You're not going to use it because it's going to scratch your hands. You're not going to put it on the leather to tan it because it's got thorns in the salt over here. The Gemara says, "Kevan de kasher lakotel shakla." What do you mean? We learned that salt, if you remember, one of the cases in the Mishnah, you put three tefachim away from the wall because the salt sends out heat, and the heat that it sends out affects the wall. So therefore, you're not going to leave it next to the wall anyway because it damages the wall. So therefore, you're not mevatel it, because the salt damages the wall, we learned. The Gemara says, the yadva achaspa. It's talking about, it's in a vessel, it's in a kidi chayres. The salt is not actually touching the wall itself. It's sitting in a kidi chayres. Oh, haspa gufati chutz. What do you mean? But the keli chayres itself should be chotzes b'vnei tumah, which means, what did you need the salt for? You tell me the salt is chotzes. Why don't you tell me the salt is in the keli chayres? Let the keli chayres itself be chotzes without the salt. You don't need salt anymore. The keli chayres itself could be chotzes. So the Gemara says, "Deled be shi'ura." It's a very small keli chayres that does not have the proper size. Again, understand the Gemara's question. You told me salt is chotzitz. It's bitter salt, it has stones in it. Okay, it's not going on. It's staying there. Oh, the Gemara had a question. What do you mean? But the salt itself, you're going to take it away. It's bad for the wall. No, the salt is in a kiddi chayres. Oh, once you're talking about a kiddi chayres, you don't need salt anymore. The kiddi chayres itself will be chotzitz in that tumah. Didn't we say if the back of the kiddi chayres is facing the room of the mit, kiddi chayres is not mitameh from the back. Therefore, Rabbi Chot says, what do we got to introduce salt for? Oh, the kiddi chayres is very small. It does not have the shi'ur. And therefore, since it's a small shi'ur, the kiddi chayres is not chotzes. It's got to be from the salt. Where do you know that kiddi chayres doesn't have a shi'ur? Kiditnan. Chayres kideh liten ben patsim lahavero. What's that talking about? Look at Ashi. We're talking about over here on Shabbat. How big does a kiddi chayres have to be chayav on Shabbat hotza'ah? Carrying. So the Gemara gives a shi'ur. Cheres, to be chayav on Shabbat if you're carrying, kedel liten ben patsim lachavero. Person has a window pane. Okay? If you look at the picture over here, just so you get clarity. You see over here? There's windows over here. The patsim are like the panes of the window. Guy's a couple of windows on his wall over there. So they would place kiddi chayres by the base of the window. That little shi'ud of chayres is hayav if you carry on Shabbat. Anything less than that is not considered significant. So we're talking about salt that's in a kiddi chayres that's less than the shi'ud of hashivut, less than this shi'ud of the shoe that you put between the window panes, which would be hayav on Shabbat. So therefore, it's not going to be chotzes mevdat tum'ah from the cheres aspect of it. But it'll be metameh from the salt aspect of it. Okay? As he explained the word pitsimeh, just to be precise.
Pitsim, slats?
The slats of the windows. Okay. Yeah, you see, between the slats of the windows. See, in between each window you have a divider line. So they put cheres in between on the base of it. So that's the shi'ur. Okay. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Oh, now we go further. Kiddi chayres, one of the cases of the Braita was that you said that is chotzetz b'fnei tum'ah is kiddi chayres. Obviously, you're putting the kiddi chayres where the back is facing the mit. So you said it's chotzetz. What do you mean? Hazile, you'll use it. You'll take it out to use it. That has a value. Gemara says, the mitonef. Nah, it's dirty. It's dirty, it's smelly, no one's going to use it. Hazel umana. No, it's good for a blood letter. in the blood that it will use it to receive the blood. Even though it's dirty, who cares? He's putting blood in it. Therefore, he'll use it. Therefore, you're not going to be mevatel it. Demenakev, there's holes in it. Holes in it, you can't use it. Blood's going to spill. Therefore, you mevatel it. Sefer Torah. Oh. Tuma doesn't go through the holes. No, can it? Tiny holes. Tiny holes. Small holes. No, even if it's on the back. No, it's on the base. The holes on the base. That's why it's not functional.
Blood goes through.
No, it's small little holes, won't go through. It's got to be a shi'ud of a tefah or something for it to go through. A tiny hole won't go through. You have to say that, otherwise you're right, otherwise the tumah will go through. So comes Gemara and says, Sefer Torah. Okay? We said if a Sefer Torah is placed in the window, it blocks the tumah. What do you mean? You're going to use it. Hazi lemikra. You're going to take it to read it. Gemara says, Bebalui. Nah, it's an old Sefer Torah. It's worn out already. It's not legible. You can't read from it. Okay. So you need to take it and put it in Geniza then. When it says, Shamte Genizata, that's exactly where you put. That's the Geniza. You put the Geniza in the window. Shamte Genizata, that's where you put in the Geniza. Okay. Comes the Gemara, continues. Amar Rav. Bakol Osim Mechitza. You can make a wall from anything. Except from the following two items. Chutz memelach urbab. Except from salt, and the rebab is shuman. Because these items do not stand up. What happens to the salt? It just falls. You can't make a wall out of salt. It's just going to, it's going to mitpazer. It's going to scatter. And the fat melts. So these items are not fit for a mechitza. Okay? Ushmuel Amar. No, we're not talking about sticking it in a window. Ushmuel Amar, afilu melach. Even salt you can make as a wall. Gemara says, Amar papa velo pedigi. Make up your mind. Can salt be a wall or not be a wall? Legabel chatzitza b'fnei tumah. Let's say, can you use salt? One rabbi says yes. One rabbi says no. Make up your mind. Gemara says, "Ha b'melach sedumit, ha b'melach istrukanit." Got it?
Yep.
What's the difference between these salt? That she says sedumit ava. It's a thick salt, and it's like a rock, so you can pile it. It stands on its own. The istrukanit salt is
table salt.
It's going to fall. Okay. The hashtada maraba. Ose Adam Shnes Bure Melach. We learned in Masechet Arubin that a person can make two piles of salt in front of his mavui, umaniach alehem korah she'amelach me'amedet et ha'korah va'korah me'amedet et ha'melach. Remember, we have a mavui, so you want to put a surat ha'petach in front of the mavui. So you put two piles of salt over there, put the poles in the salt itself with the surat ha'petach on top. That's okay. Why? Because the poles will keep the salt up, and the salt will keep the poles up. Together, they have it becomes firm. Here, look at 315. You see over here, you have a pile of salt. You're putting them at the gate of the Mavui. One pile on the right side, one pile on the left side. You pile it up, and you put a korah on top. So the korah with the salt keeps it in place. So once you're telling me in Erubin that you can pile salt up with a Korah on top, and the Korah keeps it intact, the salt holds up the Korah, and the Korah holds up the salt, so I could say, Afilu melach estrokanut, velo peligi, hadika Korah, deleka Korah. I can say that there's no argument between Rav and Shmuel. They're both talking about like table salt. Salt that's very fine. But one rabbi that says you can make a mechitza, there's a Korah on top of it. There's a Korah on top of it, it stands. Another rabbi told him, there's no Quran, it falls down, therefore it cannot be a legitimate mechitza. Good? Let's look at Ashi Sibure Melach. Givuin Asara, ten tefachim, etzel kotle mavui, umaniyach shne rashe korot mavui alehen, shekobed akora ma'abid et ha-melach. The weight of the Korah holds up the salt. Okay. Barchikim et ha-rechaim, Shlosha min ha-shechav, shem arba'a min ha-rechav. Okay, let's go back to the case of the Lechaim. Remember we had that picture? This is the stone, the millstone. The base of the millstone is called the Shechav. That's wider than the top stone, it's called the Rechav. So you have to distance it from the wall. 3 tefachim from the bottom stone, which would be 4 tefachim from the top stone. Because the top stone is narrow, right? It's indented, right? So it comes Gemara and says, what's the reason for this here? Why do you have to distance the millstone from the wall 3 tefachim? Gemara says, Mishum tiriya. What's tiriya?
Vibrations.
Right. The vibrations of the millstone when it's churning, when it's banging, it vibrates, it's going to knock the wall down. Gemara says, Ve'atanya v'shel hamor shelosha mina ostrubil shim arba'a mina kelet. Okay. There's another type of millstone. It's on a hamor. The hamor walks around and it grinds the hita.
He's turning the stone.
He turns the stone. So the bottom stone is called, let's get the words of the Gemara. The bottom stone is called estrobil. And the top spot where you're putting the wheat in is called the kelet. The kelat. Now, in this case over here, there's no vibrations. Well, you have two stones banging against each other in the millstone, that I understand the vibrations. But why then is this also, you have to keep this millstone of the hamor 3 tefachim away from the bottom stone and 4 tefachim away from the kelet, which is narrower. Why? There's no vibrations in this case over here. Also comes the Gemara and says, Atam maitriya ika ela mishum kala urashim. When you're turning that millstone of the hamor, it doesn't make such a vibration. Either it's the hamor's voice when he's grinding. If you're too close to the wall, the sound of the hamor causes the wall to fall down. Or the actual sound of the rehaim, not the vibrations, but the sound, the noise factor. So therefore, the noise is the issue. It's not because of vibration. Go.
Kol hanagat hamor.
Kol hanagat hamor. Or when you...
The guy's rooting the hamor on.
Ah. The guy's rooting it on. The guy's...
Come on.
Right. Right. Getting the hamor to move. The noise. But basically, it's the noise. Either hanagat hamor or the actual noise of the millstone itself. Veta tanur... Remember we said the oven is wide on the bottom, it gets narrow on the top, so it's 3 from the bottom, 4 from the top part. Okay, from here you see that what? That the kalya of the base of the oven is a wider a tefah than the narrow part. When you go buy an oven, they go by a tanu, that's got to be the shiur. If you don't get that shiur, a base that's wider, a tefah on the bottom, then you can get your money back. It's a mekatam. Okay. Mishnah. Lo ya'amid adam tanur betoch abayit. Now, we learned this in Bab Metzi'ah, if you remember, this Mishnah. A person is not allowed to put an oven in his house. Ela emken yesh al gabav gova arba amot. Unless from the top of the oven to the ceiling is at least 4 amot. Because we don't want the guy to burn the roof or burn the second floor. The guy's on the first floor. He's going to burn the roof, which is the base of the which is the floor of the second floor guy. So therefore, it's because the heat. So therefore, when you have an oven, it's got to be at least 4 amot from the ceiling. Let's say you're putting the oven on the second floor. Now, we're worried that the heat from the bottom of the oven is going to burn the floor. Burns the floor, it's going to burn the guy's roof. The first floor. So therefore, it's got to be a wall that's thick 3 tefachim. Ma'aziva. Meaning it has to be like cemented 3 tefachim. And then already, if it's thick 3 tefachim, then already it's okay. Look at Eshi. עד שיהיה תחתם מעזיבה, תיח קרקע גימל תפחים. It has to be like paved, three תפחים, שלא תבעל תקרה תחתונה של עלייה. You always need four amot on top. Now, we're talking about the guy on the bottom, now he's got to make sure the base of his, the guy on the first floor don't care about the floor. It's not going to burn anything. Right. It's on the ground. The guy on the second floor, if he burns the ground, he's burning the roof of the first floor guy. So it's got to be at least thick, three tefachim. Ubekira tefach. Now a kira doesn't exude as much heat as a tanur. It's also an oven, but it's less hot. In that case over there, the floor only has to be thick a tefach. Ve'im hezik, mishalem ma shehezik. Wow. With all this, the guy followed all the rules. For amot on top, three tefachim on the bottom. Still, but if it damages, you got to pay. So Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon omer, lo amru kol ha-shi'urim ha-elu, ela shi'im hezik, patu mishalem. Rabbi Shimon says, what are you talking about? All these shi'urim are to protect the guy. That if something happened, you don't have to pay. You know, otherwise, what are you giving me all these shi'urim for over here? Look at Ashi. V'im hezik, achar, שהיה שם כל השיעורים הללו. You follow all the rules. משלם מה שהזיק. ואף על פי כן, מעקבין עליו השכנים להרחיק בכל השיעורים הללו. שמה ידליק בתיהן ואין לו מה לשלם. Right. Which means, if anyway the guy's got to pay, why does he have to follow the rules then? Which means, if a guy wants to make an oven, right? I'm the guy downstairs. I can tell the guy, I say, listen, you got to have three tefachim thickness of the roof over there before you of your floor before you put it down. I'm paying you anyway, because the problem is he's going to burn his whole house and not going to have anything to pay him. Not going to have anything to pay, so I could stop the guy to follow the rules, which is the other guy has a right to me'akev the guy that's putting the tanur to be safe, because if he's not going to be safe, you can burn the whole house down. Now he owes him the whole house. Where's he going to pay him from? He has nothing to pay from. But even if it's damaged, you can't say, I followed the rules. No, if you follow the rules, doesn't matter. You're the damage, you got to pay. Last part of the Mishnah. Lo yiftach adam chanut shel nachtomim ve'shel sabaim tachat otzaro shel chavero. Okay, we learned this already. A guy's not allowed to open up a bakery or a dyeing factory under the otzar of his friend. Otsar, what does he have in his otsar? Let's say wheat. Wheat or oil. The guy's got a wheat and oil warehouse on top. You cannot open up these items on the bottom because they're going to damage the heat of the factories. Over there they use a lot of heat in the dyeing factory and in the bakery. The heat is going to cause the wheat to spoil and the oil to spoil. Velo refet bakar. Okay, nor can you open up a cattle barn underneath these items. I guess the smell of it damages. Be'emet. However, in truth, halacha, be'yayin etiru. Which means, if the guy's got on top wine, you could open up a bakery on the bottom. The bakery's not going to damage the wine. The smoke that comes from the bakery or the dyeing factory is not going to damage the wine. The smoke only damages the oil or the wheat. But it's not going to damage wine. Aval lo refet bakar. But not refet bakar. Because the smell is going to destroy the wine. So therefore we're a little more lenient when it comes to wine. Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'atanya, we have a braita, betanur arba'a, ubikira shelosha. Oh. You just told me in our Mishnah, how much thickness do you have to have on the floor? Three. So you tell me a tanur has to have three. And a kira, one. But we have a braita that says, tanur has to have four thickness on the floor, and a kira shlosha. Now make up your mind. Is it four and three, or is it three and one? Amar Abaye, kitanya hi bedenachtomim. That's talking about a baker's oven. A baker's oven that's on constantly. Then already you're going to have more thickness on the floor, because it's always being used. So therefore, the tanur needs four, and the kira needs three. The tanur didan kikira dinachtomim. our tanur, regular personal tanur, has a din of a kira of a baker. So a kira of a baker is three. So a tanur of a regular is also three. Right? So the tanur of a regular guy has a din of a kira of a nachtom. Good? Lo yiftah hanut. Okay, so we said you cannot open up a bakery downstairs from a wheat or warehouse or a oil, right? Tatana. But if the barn came first, it's mutar. I was here first. Right? You can't kick me out. I was here first. And that says that's his dwelling. So therefore, you can't kick him out. All right? So comes Gemara and says, Ba'e Abaye. Now we get to some questions over here. So again, as long as the Refet Bakar came first. Now what does it mean came first? We understood the guy on top had nothing in there, nothing doing. Only after he put his barn, the guy came up, put his wheat. Gemara says, "Kibed v'ribet le'otzar mahu." Let's say that she kibed v'ribet. He cleaned and he sweeped gagod le'tzorech ha'otzar, which means the guy started to sweep up the upstairs in order to prepare it for a warehouse. Ve'lo speak le'knis to tevuah. But he didn't get the delivery yet. He didn't put the tevuah in yet. And this guy opened up a bakery downstairs. What's considered, who came first? Maybe I can argue, once the guy swept the top floor, he's preparing it for a warehouse. So now the guy goes, well, I came first. Where did you came first? I mean, I sweeped the area. Well, there's no wheat in there. Well, I'm preparing to get the wheat. Mao. Sheila, riba b'chalonot ma'u. Let's see, the top guy started putting windows. I guess the sunlight or the air is good for the wheat. So when the guy's putting windows in, that shows what he's going to use it for an otzar. But he didn't get the wheat yet. That she says ba'al yetu degadet datesh shel otzar u'asui shikeres to avir. Right, he wants the air to come in. Shelo yirkav tevua. Ma'u achsadra ta'at otzar ma'u. What's that case? Maze achsadra tahat ha'otzar. Yeah, what does it mean even?
There's a pavilion beneath the store.
Oh, so there's something separating between the warehouse and the bakery. There's an achsadra. Which means I could argue that maybe the open achsadra, which is very airy, separates between the bottom floor and the top floor. Does the achsadra considered a hefsek between the bakery and the otzar? Okay. Bana aliyah al gabe beto mahu. Okay. The guy, he built a second floor. Now by building a second floor, what is he showing? That she says, Al gago, verigidin ayu libnot sham neotzar. Usually you build the second floor for storage. Im tibsem ari ba'bachalonot, labak damau. Which if you want to tell me, just by adding windows, not considered anything. But maybe building the whole structure, that's considered already a gilui da'at, that you're going to put in these items. And therefore, even though you came first, since the guy showed his intention, so therefore, you have to move away now. Right? That's Gemara's question. Gemara says to all these cases, tiku. Sefikot, you have to wait for Eliyahu HaNavi. Ba'ay Ravuna bered Rav Yeshua. Tamre v'ribone mai. Aha. What about other products? Dates and pomegranates. Maybe only oil and wheat. What about those items? Okay, what else is tiku? Adiyahu Nevi. Be'emet b'yayin etiru. Wine, we said, is okay, because the smoke doesn't affect the wine. Tana b'yayin etiru mepneh shemashbicho. Wow. Not only doesn't it affect it, makes it better. Ve'lo refet bakar mepneh shemasricho. But by a barn, the smell of the barn is going to affect the wine. Amar of Yosef, hay didan afilu kutrad deshargah name kashele. That she says our wine is so sensitive that even the smoke that comes from a candle is going to damage it. So according to him, with the wine that they had in his day, for sure these factories that use dyeing and bakeries, for sure is a problem. Okay? Amar of Sheshat, the aspasta, kerefet bakar damya. Now, aspasta is like the, it's not the wheat, it's like the stubble or the straw that comes from the wheat. Putting that on the first floor is going to be a problem. Why, as she says, mahmat shulach, since it's moist, umetchamim, again, it's like, gets hot, and it causes like a smoke to go up, umalis sinachon, a smell. Therefore, putting the stubble of the wheat is like a barn. And therefore, you would not be allowed to put it beneath a wheat, okay, wine that in those days, or oil. Good? Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.